Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me via the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. So first, Rebecca, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So today we're going to be talking about attracting the best talent for your business. And that's an area, obviously, you can help me along with this and everybody listening, watching as well. So before we kind of go into that into a bit more detail, do you want to just tell us a little bit about you and the business and how you do things? And then it can kind of, I guess, frame the conversation.
Yeah, of course. So I'm Rebecca Daldell, the founder of myinternalrecruiter.com. And basically, we are a subscription outsourced recruitment service. So instead of people paying a sort of typical 15 to 20% of recruitment fees, they pay us a monthly subscription and outsource all of their vacancies to us. It's about having a relationship with that client and really understanding their business.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then obviously that'll be very relevant in the conversation we're just about to have. In terms of attracting the best talent, let's kind of start on a very broad way. What are the biggest challenges? What are the issues or worries that businesses face when it comes to getting the right people for their business?
Okay, so I think the job market always goes in kind of peaks and troughs. So right now we are in a situation where there are more jobs than candidates. It's not as bleak as it was maybe even 3 months ago. It's getting better. There are more candidates. People are less scared of looking for jobs. They're less scared of moving and all of that kind of thing. But I think that's the main thing to sort of think about. What's the ratio of jobs versus candidates right now?
Yeah, and I guess that matters massively. It's supply and demand, essentially.
Pardon?
It's essentially supply and demand.
Exactly, yeah.
So what, you know, you mentioned there about people were maybe scared or worried about moving quite recently. What was the trigger for that? It might be the obvious answer, but what were kind of issues around that?
Yeah, so I think pre-pandemic, we had a lot of people, there was a lot of jobs, there was a lot of movement, and then obviously pandemic happened, people were really, really scared. There was, in the middle of the pandemic, there was always obviously an awful lot of people got laid off and redundancies and that kind of thing. And then coming out of it, people were so excited to be back in work and have that security. So they stayed, and there wasn't really that natural churn of people just moving every kind of couple of years, whereas now I feel like we're back to that. So we would have maybe put a job advert online and got 3 applications, whereas kind of pre-COVID you might have got 300, not all good, but 300 nevertheless. So it's just been more about going to market, and headhunting has been way more important in the last little while. But things are changing, and it is, you know, now you can put an advert up and you will get more applicants, and people are much more open to conversations now.
Yeah, and I guess the question is, what attracts people? What you know, I'm sure everyone here or listening or watching has seen a job advert at least once, and there's always that somewhere a title which says benefits of the job. That's kind of,
yeah,
generally it's how many days holiday you get, and yeah, I don't know, you get bonus or company cars or I don't know, free coffee on site, whatever it is. But my kind of assumption, a lot of things is, again, people's attitude towards this has changed maybe a lot over the last few years. So what kind of things are people now looking for?
I think you're absolutely right. People are much more concerned about the benefits. Hybrid working is obviously a big thing. People want the space to work where they want, but they also want the collaboration. So they want that team feel. They want to have peers, and they want to have conversations, and they want that sort of work culture. It's really interesting. Quite a lot of the businesses that I work for did a lot of project work during lockdown on their benefits. So looking at, and it's, the benefits are different at whatever stage of life you're at. So if you're 21, you probably don't care about your pension. Whereas, you know, if you're 61, you definitely care about your pension. So it's sort of looking at those benefits and how you can tap into them. So holidays are probably important to everybody. You know, the flexible working, and then, like you say, all those other things that make your company unique. So whether it's tea and coffee, or, you know, whatever it is. And some people have, I know, look, there's loads of opinions on LinkedIn about fresh fruit and cake and all that kind of thing. But all of those things just sort of provide a bit more information about what it's like to work at your company, because that's what people want to know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's culture, isn't it? It's what the culture of the company is that matters. And you can only get so much of a feel of that during, you know, by looking at a website or even going through the interview process, to be fair. It is a little bit of a guesswork, isn't it? I just wanted to come to you. You kind of mentioned there about holidays and kind of flexible working. I think that's really, really interesting, actually, because I'm sure kind of many of us have worked in less flexible places, and, you know, you had to take a half a day or a day's holiday to go to the dentist, or to, I don't know, leave at 3 o'clock to go away for a weekend, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe holidays have become less important as flexibility has gone up, because you still have your holidays, as in you're going away or you're having a time off, but those ad hoc days that you used to have to take maybe are not happening so much?
So I think you could do an entire podcast just on this topic. So I went to it was a networking event, and I was the oldest person there by, I would say, at least 10 years. And it was so interesting. So these were like really young professionals starting out on their career, and they do not want to get burned out. They do not want, like, they've sort of seen probably our generation start work early, finish work late, burn yourself out, and they don't want that. So I think it's so interesting that holidays are a draw to get people in, but like you say, they don't necessarily need as many, because you can go to the dentist. You don't need to have written permission to go to the doctors and all. I think we're just entering a workforce now which is more grown up, and the trust is there. And if your employer doesn't trust you, or you need a note to go to the doctor or the dentist, what does that say about the employer?
I've always had this thing about trust in the workplace. And if you've employed someone you can't trust, that's your problem, not the individual. If they've done something wrong to change that, that's a very different story. But as a default setting, you know, you're employing someone, you should trust them.
Yeah.
You've chosen, taken the choice to do that. So that should be the starting point, at least until they prove otherwise. I think it's really interesting you mentioned younger people, because, we all know holidays are great. Having a week off, having 2 weeks off is great, and you come back and you feel great. But that's only ever really quite short term, that kind of, I guess, rest and boost that you get. The more flexible every single day stops you getting to the burnout point. It almost feels like holidays previously were thinking, like, you know, work as hard as you can for X number of months to the point of burning out, and then take 2 weeks off and just recharge a bit and then go again. Whereas flexible working really should stop you ever getting near that point.
Yeah, exactly. And it was so refreshing to sort of hear them all talk about this, and that being, and these are people, you know, that are training to be sort of lawyers, accountants, you know, normally sort of traditional stressful jobs. And they were just, they'd just seen it happen to their colleagues, and they weren't going to do it. So I think how you portray your company culture is going to help you attract the right kind of people for the jobs that you're looking to do.
No, absolutely. I think it's interesting you've said that. You know, something I've noticed, how young people are definitely more aware of that. You know, when I first went looking for a job after university in my early 20s, I'm pretty certain, it feels like a while ago now, but I don't remember thinking about the culture of the company. I might have indirectly kind of noticed it, but it wasn't something I really thought about.
No, I think you looked at the salary and probably the location, and probably was there a good kind of after work culture was probably more the thing than anything else.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I guess that's kind of partly the good side of things, but there's a kind of negative, I guess, is when people get this wrong. So some of it's probably obvious, but it'd be interesting to know from your experience, what are the consequences when you get this wrong, when you hire the wrong people, whether it's one individual or a number of individuals?
Oh, I mean, I can't even tell you how difficult it would be with all the consequences. So if you get the wrong staff, then you're going to have the wrong culture, the wrong ethos. It's good. If you've got a negative culture, it will impact on every single person in your business. And then performance ultimately is just going to drop. So whenever you listen to all the kind of top performing business podcasts, whatever, they all say your first couple of hires and your first hires are the most important. So I can't remember his name, but the guy who runs Huel, he has employed every single person in his business, and it's like it's more now, but it's like a 200 person business, because he wants that culture. He doesn't really care about their CV, and it's more about their attitude than anything else that's on there.
And that makes sense, because you spend all the time with these people. Whether it's obviously previously was in an office 5 days a week, maybe less so now, but still you are trying to work in a team. And I've got this thing about how sports world is miles ahead of most of us in business in terms of the kind of things it looks like. And, you know, there's all sorts of evidence of culture within sports teams. The ones with the best are the ones that win.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And it's no different, is it? Absolutely no different for businesses. So
no.
Your experience, what kind of mistakes have people made to get to that point where they've, you know, essentially hired the wrong people? What have they done during the process to get that wrong?
So I think some of it can't be helped. So sometimes people, like, we're talking about people at the end of the day, and sometimes hiring managers will sort of beat themselves up that they have hired the wrong person. But ultimately, someone comes to an interview and they're not a different person, but you're performing in an interview more than you would on your kind of everyday. And I know you can put processes in place, you know, like doing two-stage interviews instead of one. But ultimately, somebody can show up on day one for that job as a very, very different person than they portrayed themselves through the whole process. So I think the first thing is, you will make mistakes in your whole career. You're definitely going to get recruitment wrong. It's not a perfect science. Like, and I'm sitting here as a recruiter, you can't always get it right. However, if you put in the right steps and the right things, then you can sort of say, right, well, I did everything I could to make this the best informed decision at the time. And maybe it didn't work out, but I tried.
No, absolutely. I'd be interested to know from your point of view what that would look like. And now I know every business is different, obviously, and every job is different, and everything. There's no, you know, again, you said it's not an exact science, is it? But I'm sure there's kind of themes that run throughout. If you're, because I think for both sides, sometimes that hiring process can be quite frustrating, can't it? You know, whilst it'd be great for the company if you had 10 interviews with 10 different people and they got to meet everybody and you get a real feel for them, that's not a great experience for the candidate who probably isn't another job and have to take a lot of time off and things like that. So kind of in a realistic world, I guess, how do you think that looks and feels for both sides?
Yeah, so it's definitely a two-way street. So I would say there are sort of two elements to this. So the first one would be getting people to apply to your job and getting them interested in your company. And then the second stage would be then that interview process. And like you say, not doing 10 stages. So I think the first stage of sort of getting them interested in your company is things like looking at your reviews. So Glassdoor reviews, Google reviews. What are people saying about your company? What are your staff saying about your company out there? You know, we had someone recently who didn't want to go for a job because a family member worked at the company. They had nothing but good things to say about the company. They just didn't want to mix that sort of personal and professional relationship. But even that's a great review for somebody, you know, to be out there saying, oh, I love my job, I love this company. I think looking at your social pages, what are you putting on there? And it doesn't have to be, like, not every job is so exciting and so glamorous. It doesn't have to be, you know, cake every week or going on fancy lunches or fancy trips or whatever it is. It can just be, I don't know, a video about how somebody started off in one job in the company and has now progressed to do something different. You know, all of those things matter to people. So I think looking at what you're portraying about your company from the outside is really important.
No, absolutely. And you mentioned there about the interview process, you know, kind of, again, good to know a little bit about what you think good looks like in that process. And again, yeah, obviously we speak in general here, but yeah.
Absolutely. So because we are in this candidate shortage market, which is slightly changing, I would say that not more than two stages. So if you do the first, most people will do the first stage on video, and that is just your general get to know each other. And you have to think in that point, you are not only selling your company, but you're also selling yourself, because this person is going to work really closely with you. And if they don't like you or think you're uninterested and unengaged, they're not going to want to come back for a second interview. So I would say making sure that that first video is more about the values, the cultural fit. Can you both get on together? Really selling how much you like to work for this business. And then I would say, and this one's really hard, but making sure that the process is quite slick. So if you know that you're going to do a second stage, can you get everyone's diaries together? And I know this is really difficult and we're sort of generalizing here, but can you sort of say, right, I'm going to do interviews 1 week, and by the end of the next week, I'll be doing the second stage. And I think if you do one as a video and one face-to-face, you've got that kind of element where they're not taking a half day or they're not making an excuse or whatever it is, and then they're taking time off. So they're bought into your company and then they're taking the time off and they're really invested to come and see you.
Yes, so it's a very transparent process basically from the start, isn't it?
Yeah. And as a recruiter, we should almost be saying to them, okay, what's your time? You know, when are you available for interviews? And here is the process, because I know it from day one.
And I thought it was interesting, early you used the phrase grown up about it, or growing up and changing. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really interesting point from, you know, I'm myself and other people who've been through any process of recruitment. It always felt like, not everybody, obviously, but sometimes it was a little bit, it wasn't transparent. It was quite... You know, it just wasn't a good experience, which I think, you know, a lot of the experiences maybe I had years ago, if someone had that now, would be like, no chance, I'm not interested. And I'm sure many have changed, but...
Yeah. But I think people do that. If they don't have a good experience in that sort of first video chat, they're not going to come back for the second one. They probably have three other job interviews that they could go for, or three other jobs that they could look at. So I think that's why I think the businesses really need to sort of sell themselves. Like, we have a client, and every single person, even the people that do not get the job, have the best experience at that interview. Even whenever I say to them, I'm really sorry you haven't got the job, they sort of always ask me to wish the company well, and if there's ever anything in the future, because they are going to go away thinking that company is brilliant and I want to work there. And that's what you want. You want little ambassadors to go out and say, well, I didn't get the job, but they were so great.
Oh, 100%. You know, that's a great position to be in, isn't it? To be able to, because you never know, that person might not be the right person for you now, but they could be in 6 months, 6 years, 20 years, who knows? And you're doing that now. Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody knows plenty of people, don't we? People talk. And it makes such a difference. Now, I know there's obviously this discussion, we're very much looking at it from the business's point of view. But if you kind of just very briefly kind of flip it from a candidate's point of view, how can you make yourself stand out and look a bit different? Because, you know, it's quite a few years since I've been through the process, thankfully. For me, it was all, you know, you went onto a job board, you searched for them, you found a job that might look interesting to you, you press a button to send your CV, and you did that a number of times, and you throw enough you know what against a wall, and eventually one of them sticks. That was the general process. You know, how... how could I, in that example, make myself stand out and do better?
So I think there are so many different ways. So the companies that have that really good kind of company culture that I was talking about will say on the bottom of their website or socials or whatever, even if we don't have a job that matches your skill set, please get in touch. So sometimes it's about reaching out to the person. So, you know, who's hiring for this job? Can you find them on LinkedIn? Is it worth now? This probably works better in the SME space. If you're looking at kind of like a multinational or whatever, they're probably not going to read all your LinkedIn messages. But if you're looking at an SME business, who is the owner? Who's the hiring manager? Can you get in touch with them? Can you, you know, already there you've showed, you know, that you're proactive, that you want to go and get something. And I also think this applies for internal people as well. So we really overlook the internal talent pool. So when you're going for you know, when companies are advertising, who's in your business? Who on their last career review said they wanted progression, they wanted to take on more responsibility? What are they doing now? You know, all of those people are ready made in your business. They understand your business. Can they do something?
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's interesting. I think there's been so many more opportunities for someone to stand out now, isn't there? Like I said, so many ways of getting to people through social media channels. I mean, using videos and examples, probably somewhere, you know, rather than the kind of the bog standard cover letter, which I always found really annoying, because if you had to either write a normal one, which kind of goes to everybody, or you had to write one individually, which takes quite a lot of time, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I don't know, if I was going through that process now, 30-second video for each individual is essentially your cover letter.
Yeah.
Would that be a good way of standing out and being a bit different?
Yeah. So I would first of all say cover letters. Anybody that is asking you to do a cover letter, why is the, and there are so many kind of like memes about this on kind of recruitment social media, but why are you filling in an application form or a cover letter with all the same information that's on your CV? In fact, when are we going to be at the point where CVs are obsolete and we just use LinkedIn? You know, when are we going to be, and I appreciate, sorry, not everybody has LinkedIn, but when are we going to be at that point? You know, we don't need a cover letter. We don't, you need a CV with your dates of your employment and what you achieved in that. And then everything else is, like you say, video or reaching out. Like, I'm sure you've seen all those people that send in cakes or, you know, with their CV written on it.
That worked for me. If someone said cakes to me, I'd hire them straight away.
Well, like just a picture of their face or their CV.
Yeah.
Either you're just having the cake.
Just as long as there's a cake, that'll do me.
Yeah. And I think another thing is, after you've had the interview, send an email or send a follow-up to say, thank you so much for your time. I'm really excited to hear about the next stage or whatever. Because it's what you would do in business, isn't it? So why wouldn't you do it in an interview process?
Yeah, I'm funny enough, I remember doing something. It was actually the very last job I went for. Must be about 8 or 9 years ago now. I did something very similar. I think it was on LinkedIn. I sent a message saying, great to meet you today. Thanks for your time. You know, sorry, I can't remember exactly. Obviously, it's so many years ago now, but
yeah,
and did get the job. And I'm sure, hopefully, it wasn't the only reason, but you know, that little thing that I assume probably most people weren't doing.
So you would be so surprised at how many people still aren't doing that. And you're saying that you did that kind of 8 or 9 years ago. It feels so interesting that the careers advice that we are giving is still so similar. So it's like, work on your personal branding, you know, make sure that you've checked all your socials and that you don't have anything stupid on there that is going to be incriminating or whatever. You know, get somebody to look at your socials who's not connected to you. What can they see? Google yourself. Like all of these things that I used to work in education years and years ago. And these are things that we were talking about, you know, like you're saying, kind of 10, 15 years ago. Why are we still talking about this? Why are students in universities not, why are they not on LinkedIn? Why do they not, you know, their CVs are very, very similar. They follow a template, which is fine, but why do they not have a LinkedIn profile? Like all of these things just haven't moved on very much.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of move on, COVID and obviously, there was such a big change, and I would imagine just about every industry has had big changes since then. So it'd be interesting from kind of a recruitment point of view, what, you know, we obviously we touched on the remote work thing, but even is there anything else that's kind of changed in your world or accelerated?
Do you mean from our kind of what do you mean from our clients or kind
just of... either side, really? I guess kind of the whole. You know, we've touched a little bit on people and their changes during the kind of pandemic period, but I think most people have, you know, we've seen a lot of difference, haven't we, in changing industries and things like that. So I'd be interested if there's anything in your world that's changed post-pandemic.
So I think first interviews always being video now is completely different. So I think before, whenever people did two stages, it was, you know, maybe they would come out of the office twice, whereas now most of them are doing kind of a half, 20-minute, half an hour video call first. Or some people are also using video, so like we are now, to kind of record that first, you know, tell me about yourself, what's your reason for leaving, your salary expectation, all that kind of initial conversation that might be just pre-recorded on video, sent to the hiring manager. And then it's, okay, I've got a feel for this person. Right, let's book them in for interview. So I think video is a key one.
And I guess that's going to become a skill that's going to become really important in just about every job, isn't it? Obviously, recruit, we're talking about getting a job there, but actually once you're in the job, being comfortable in front of the camera is probably going to become more and more important, isn't it, for all of us?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know that much about TikTok or anything like that, but, you know, how many people are just going straight on there recording video, recording whatever for business or just their own, you know, kind of social life. I mean, my children are 2 and 3 and their babysitter had them doing a TikTok to some Christmas song and they love it. They absolutely love it. And I know that's, you know, again, and it's not published anywhere and that's fine, and internet safety and all those things. But yeah, I think being comfortable in front of video and just being able to sort of sell yourself in a different way.
Yeah, and I guess that very much applies for businesses as well when they are trying to, you know, attract the right talent to, because video shows without meeting someone, you get to find out more about people, don't you, than you would do previously through just text or even photography. So being able to find out that you know, what we talked about right at the start of this conversation, that kind of, I guess, your brand of your business and what you like to have, whether it's on your socials or on your website or both, to have lots of videos of the people there, it really, really matters.
Yeah, the one thing that I would really caveat it with, and this is probably quite selfish from a recruiter's point of view, is whenever we use video, so people tell us quite a lot on that first phone call about why they're looking to leave, their salary, all of those things that they don't maybe necessarily want sent directly to a client, or they might tell you, especially if somebody's leaving an employer that they're not getting on with, or there's some sort of negative thing that's happening, you would frame that in a different way in an interview than you would if you were just talking to a recruiter. So I think we have to be careful not to do everything on video and where that's being stored, and, you know, and I'm not saying that people come on and slag people off, but it's more that you need to be able to say directly what the reason for leaving is to somebody, and then be able to sort of have that other response for video. So there is still conversations, I think, that should be held off video.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's again, going to all industries and everything, that we haven't maybe quite worked out yet how we use video for its best, and combine that with the face-to-face, and whether it's in the hiring process, whether it's in business networking, whether it's in anything we do, that we're still kind of finding out what the nice kind of middle ground for that is, I think, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for this, Rebecca. It's been great and really, really interesting. It got me thinking about a few things. And I'm sure obviously people will benefit from that. And if anyone maybe has any questions for you or would like to find out a bit more about what you do and how you do things, because I know you have a particular kind of way that you do things. Do you want to just kind of tell us where the best places to go and find out about you and the business?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is just www.myinternalrecruiter.com, or if you search Rebecca Dalzell on LinkedIn, I think there is an author that's called that, but obviously the one that lives in Leeds is me. And we've got lots of information on kind of our subscription packages and sort of client testimonials and everything on there.
Brilliant, Rebecca. And I'll put all your details as well in the notes on the podcast and the video platforms as well. So for whatever reason, people can't find you through that way, go on there. In last case, you know, really badly, if for some reason no links work, just come to me at Northern Affinity and I can pass you details on. So, just finally, I really want to thank you for your time, Rebecca. Thank we really, really appreciate it. I think it's such an interesting discussion, and I think it's going to be something we could have the discussion again maybe in a year's time, and it would look different again. Yeah, I kind of got a feeling of that.
Completely, yeah. I think it's always, always changing, and it makes my job interesting, so I'm here for it.
That's nice. Well, thank you very much, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. The Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and then have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening.